Well, friends, would you please be seated? You might like to look at both the Gospel of John and also Hebrews, which we'll be getting to in just a moment. And as we come to look at God's Word, how about I ask the Lord to speak to us? Father, we thank you for your Word, which does indeed speak so clearly to us. I pray that now as we reflect upon what Jesus is doing now, that it might give us hope in this world and in the life to come. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when my wife and I get the opportunity to sit down and watch TV together, and we sometimes flick around and look at the show called Penn & Teller. You might have watched Penn & Teller. If you don't know who Penn & Teller are, shame on you. Oh, no, it's not shame. It's Penn & Teller are magicians. They're quite famous magicians in America, and they have all these really outrageous sort of acts and such. Now, I've never studied magic, but I am aware that when a magician makes something disappear, it doesn't actually really disappear. They just hide it somewhere. It doesn't cease to exist. I didn't know if you knew that. But they just hide it. It's not like it ceases to exist. And the reason why I know it must be just hidden rather than just ceasing to exist is because Jesus holds all things together by his mighty word. All things exist and continue to do so because he says so, and not Penn and Teller. What we're doing is we're continuing our sermon series, as you can see from the screen, saying, what is Jesus doing now? And you can see that, last week you heard that Jesus was doing all these things on earth, and things like he was healing, and he was teaching, and he was walking, he was eating, he was sleeping, and so on and so forth. We looked at all those things last week. And then I said, but what's he doing now? Now that he's risen, now that he's at the right hand of the Father, what is he doing now? And last week we began by looking at how Jesus is the King and he reigns. That's what he's doing now. He's reigning. Now, he's always been King. We saw that in the passage from the Gospels last week, in which just before his crucifixion, how he was being mocked to be the King of the Jews. Oh, you're the King of the Jews, and they put a sign above the cross. But he was being mocked as a king, but we know he was king then too, wasn't he? He was the serving king, the servant king. And then we saw how he reigns now on high. Well, today, this idea of holding all things together or sustaining all things, it's the same idea. It actually is an outworking of Jesus' majesty, of Jesus reigning on high. But let me go back one step. That passage from John chapter 1 is a beautiful piece of scripture, isn't it? John chapter 1 is, it would have to be in the top 10 pieces of scripture that people like. It's beautifully poetic, isn't it? It's so rhythmic. It's just beautiful. I've had people who are not Christians tell me that that piece of scripture resonates with them. There's something about it. And we see in those very first words, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And that's the point I want to look at. We see here at the beginning of John that through the Word, and the Word is Jesus, that nothing was made unless it was made by Jesus. And if it wasn't made, it was because he didn't make it. Does that make sense? All things exist because of the creative work of Jesus. Through him, all things were made. That means everything that exists is because of the creative work of Jesus, who was there at the beginning. We see a similar idea in the passage that was read for us from Hebrews chapter 1. It's almost word for word the same, but it has a little bit more information in it. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, it says, "But in these last days, he," and that's talking about God the Father, "has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe." He made the universe. Or some people like to say the cosmos. Everything. All encompassing. Space and time. Whatever you can see and whatever you can't see because it's too small or too far away, everything was made by Jesus. Everything that has ever been, everything that is, and everything that ever will be is because of the creative work of Jesus. But I need to make an important point here, which relates to this idea of what is Jesus doing now. Jesus is many things, but he is not a watchmaker. He is many things, but he is not a watchmaker. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is Jesus doesn't, as it were, create everything, wind it up, and let it go, and step back. Rather, he is intimately involved in all that continues to happen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, and hear this, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word. That's why he's not a watchmaker. He's intimately involved in the ongoing existence of all that we see and all that we can't see because it's too small. In fact, there's a similar idea to what we just read in Hebrews in the book of Colossians. Now, I don't want to say too much because Colossians is next week, and I don't want to steal thunder from the next person too much, but I'll just read a little bit of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 says, "For in Jesus all things were created." We've heard that before already, haven't we? All things were created. Gives a little bit more information. It says, "Things in heaven, things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." All things hold together. All things are sustained. It's the same idea. By Jesus. Whether it be thrones or powers, rulers, authorities, everything you can see, everything you can't see because it's too far away, is held together, is sustained because Jesus is no watchmaker. Now, what is the first practical implication of this? Well, what it means is that all things continue to exist because what is Jesus doing now? He's holding all things together. He's sustaining all things. So consider this. Let's go back to Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller, remember I said, they cannot make something disappear. Jesus, on the other hand, would be an awesome magician. Because by his word, things exist. And if he chooses for them not to exist, then they do not exist. They exist because he created them and sustains them. But if he withdraws that, it would cease to exist, including Penn and Teller. They too might cease to exist. I actually think not only is that a bit of a mind-blowing idea, but it's actually a helpful corrective of what we see in our world. Let me give you an example. We've all seen mountain ranges, haven't we? Various mountain ranges, small ones, big ones, snow-capped ones. Non-snow-capped mountain ranges. It's very easy to look at these majestic mountain ranges and to think to yourself, they're almost eternal. They've always been there. Now, if you're a closet geologist, you will know that they haven't always been there. And you will know about, you know, geographical time frames, and you'll know about erosion and all that goes on and such like that. But for, you know, us plebs amongst us, we look at a mountain range and we go, that is just... It's there. It's always been there. It'll never change. Long after we are gone, that mountain range will continue. But you see, that's actually not the truth. The mountain range continues, not because of its own ability, but because of the one who says, continue. If Jesus was to withdraw his sustaining power in an instant, Everest would disappear. There's another outworking of this. Everything continues to keep the same properties for which it it was created and had in the beginning. Grass continues to grow like grass because Jesus says grass will continue to grow like grass. It won't change. Water continues to act like water. It doesn't randomly change into other liquids, but continues to have the properties of water. Oxygen continues to be oxygen rather than changing into other random gases. Imagine if all the oxygen in the world instantly changed into helium. Now, it would be hilarious for a little while because everyone would have squeaky voices. But the hilarity would soon disappear, wouldn't it? Because we need the oxygen in order for us to continue and to breathe. And so all of creation continues to do what it was designed to do because the Creator sustains it and holds it all together. It's actually the foundation of science. And it's also important for our daily living. Consider this example. You go to the fuel station, you put fuel in your car. You do not expect the fuel to randomly change into different liquids during the week. If it did, that would be very inconvenient, wouldn't it? But it continues to be whichever fuel it is that you have to put in your car, and it will continue to have the properties of when it's, you know, it will combust in order to propel your car along. All this continues because of the sustaining power of Jesus. Here's a little interesting aside, though. Everything continues with the same properties that it was designed to have, but I actually wonder if there's been times in history when exceptions have been made. Bear with me for this one for a little bit. It might be heresy, but hey, let's just run with it for a little bit. Some of you may have heard of surface tension. Surface tension is basically, it's the forces that, this is not an exact definition. If you want an exact definition, ask a proper scientist. But it's basically the forces that hold all the water molecules together, okay? So that water molecules just don't float around all the places. And so that, you know, when you go to have a glass of water, the water stays in the glass so you can drink it. And in fact, the surface tension also means that you can place things on top of water and they will float. Like you can put a leaf on top of water, it'll float. It's the surface tension that holds it up. And also you can put things like razor blades, you might have seen that, you can float them on top of water because of the surface tension. But if you were to walk towards an in-ground swimming pool, and as you got to the edge, stepped over and placed it on top of the water, each one of us in the room, even though we may not know the exact definition of surface tension or even the measurement of what surface tension is, each one of us in the room knows what's going to happen next, don't we? We're going to step straight through that water. It ain't going to hold us up. But I wonder if there was a time some 2,000 years ago when there was an exception made to the force of surface tension. When the Lord Jesus himself walked on water. Either surface tension changed or mass changed. One of the two happened. But back to more serious things. The reference to Jesus sustaining all things and holding all things together is more than just that they exist and have the same properties. It actually also has this very important element. Because Jesus sustains all things and holds all things together, it means it's actually dynamic. It's not just holding things as they were so that nothing ever happens, but it takes it forward. It takes forward the plans and the purposes of God. Let me give you an example using some Greek mythology. Have you heard of Atlas? Not the book. The Greek god. The book's named after the Greek god. So the Greek god, Atlas, was I think he was a titan or something like that. He rebelled and he was punished. And you may have seen sculptures of Atlas, the Greek god. He's bent over. Why is he bent over? He's holding up the world. That was his punishment. He had to hold up the world or the celestial spheres or something like that. He's bearing the weight of the world upon his shoulders. Jesus is not like Atlas. Atlas is bearing the weight of the world upon his shoulders. Jesus could easily bear the weight of the world and the whole cosmos upon his shoulders, but he just doesn't sit there unable to move, but he actually carries it forward. In fact, Jesus carries forward all that God has ordained. He sustains all things. It's got a managerial sense to it, this idea of sustaining or holding all things together. And it relates closely to what we looked at last week, this idea of Jesus being king. Remember last week I said, even when it doesn't look like Jesus is in control? He is, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. It's the same idea. Even when it looks like this world has no purpose, it does have one. And Jesus is sustaining all things and carrying it to its ordained end. And he does it, did you notice in those readings, by his powerful word, which is a reflection back to Genesis, isn't it? Genesis 1, in the beginning God said, and it was. And Jesus continues to sustain all things by his powerful word, for he is king and his word is law. When Jesus says something is to exist, it does. When he says something is to stop existing, it stops existing. So what are we to do with this? Are we to simply be reassured that petrol will continue to be petrol in our tanks, and that Jesus won't take a break, and the whole world will stop? No, it's more than that. See, because Jesus does sustain all things, because he holds all things together, and because he carries them forward to their ordained end, God is in control. God is in control. He's a God of order. God has always been a God of order. You see that in Genesis, he brings order out of chaos. He's a God of order in the minute things and in the big things. In the minute things like surface tension, in the big things like stars and galaxies. Every time the sun gets up in the morning, we are reminded that God is a God of order, and it continues to get up in the morning and go down in the evening. Why? Because Jesus says so. But it also is a reminder of our Easter season. We say Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. But we also know that not only is Jesus risen, we too will rise again. Now, how can I have any confidence that I will rise? Well, I can have great confidence. Firstly, Jesus rose. And secondly, all things hold together and are sustained by his powerful word. And so the purpose for which God has got for this world and for us will come about because Jesus just keeps it going in that direction, which means we too will know what it is to live in a new heaven and a new earth with a new body. Dear friends, God is not capricious. He's not random. He's not changeable. He's not whimsical. He's not fickle. He's a God of order. And there is an order and a plan for this world. All things continue to exist and will come to their rightful end, because Jesus holds all things together and is sustaining all things right now. Let me pray for us. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would indeed bring about your good purposes for this world, for we know that you are not only a God of order, but you are a God who will indeed bring about all that you have planned and ordained. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to remind us of this hope that is ours. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.